Hey, hey, this is the Bachelor Masters. This is the episode where we talk about Sunday night's premiere of Rick and Morty Season 5.
Oh my God, Craig.
You, that was even still on the air.
I've never seen that show. I don't think I'm the demographic, honestly.
Yeah, it's hard to watch.
Well, I got nothing to talk about then. It's up to you two. I was all prepared to talk about Rick and Morty.
You were not. This is a bit.
Yeah.
What? I thought that's what we agreed on, Rick and Morty, this episode.
What was it about, Craig? What was it really about? Not the plot, but what's right. The point?
They're trying to advance Morty's love affair with a woman in his high school that he has a crush on.
He's in high. I thought he was like a middle schooler style. No.
He's in high school.
Oh.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's been on for a few years, so is he aging?
It's a cartoon.
I wish they would age. I wish cartoons did that, or where they would age the characters. So far, the Rick and Morty characters have not aged, no. Mm-hmm. So
that's kind of, yeah. Mm. Well, yeah, good thing that's over, you know. Maruno's a big deal. Andy Ngo or whatever. That's who I picture every time someone mentions Rick and Morty, is that kind of that Twitter guy.
That
you know what I'm talking about,
guy.
Right? You know, the Gamergate guy, Andy Ngo.
Oh, yes. I know who you're talking about. He's the one who got hit with the concrete milkshake in Portland.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes, that guy. Yeah, I'm familiar with his work, I guess.
Yeah.
Like, such as it is.
Once you say demographic or Rick and Morty, that is like the poster boy for demographic. Yeah.
Okay, we'll have to look him up.
Let's not get political here. Anyway, yeah.
No, let's not get political.
You should look him up, Craig. How about you just look him up? Don't worry.
I know about Rick and Morty fans. I know that they're toxic masculinity.
Yeah, but you don't know about this specific guy who is he's got a lot of layers of toxicity in there.
He is he's the beginning of Gamergate, if that gives you any clue to like, which is the beginning of a lot of other movements. So
right.
It's very interesting. Anyway, yes.
So Carl gets booted by the men who all band together to get him off the show for claiming that there were multiple men that weren't there for the right reasons. And then after he gets booted, what do we find out? That there's multiple men that aren't there for the right reasons.
Right. So here is, that is, yes, exact. I mean, here is Mike P, who I did not know that was his name. He looks like a Connor to me. saying what all the men agree on.
This isn't something that we want to do right now because of what you've gone through. But we feel as a unit, it's our job to protect your heart. And we've come together in solidarity that we think that, unfortunately, what Carl said wasn't the truth. And that's, as a unit, we really feel that's what you need to hear.
So she heard all the men want Carl to go home. I didn't quite hear that. I mean, I understand that that's kind of implied, but it
well,
was very.
Well, she asked
like,
them third step. Afterwards, right? She was like, "Who agrees with this?" And all of the men in the background were like, "Yeah, we all agree."
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
but someone saying no one is here for the right for the wrong reasons. That's not. I wouldn't believe that. It's just very frustrating. Because what Carl said maybe wasn't okay, but I feel like they're on the verge of a Hannah B. bro dude vigilante scenario here. They're like, they kicked out Carl and now they're on a roll. They're like going through and like a roving vigilante mob of bro dudes, right? Like you're here for the wrong. They do seem better intentioned than Hannah B.'s dudes, but only because they're not as, they don't have like an evil leader like Tyler C was in my mind. Tyler Cameron.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of similarities between what we saw in Hannah's season where the men were like, get Luke P out. We hate that guy. And also with Claire and her men, when they sort of have their mini riot of being like, listen, we all know that you want Dale and we're going to leave if something doesn't change because this like isn't working, right?
Yeah.
So lots of parallels between that. And I as you see towards the end of this episode, right, when they're talking about Thomas, I think they really felt their power when they were successful with Carl. And they were like, now we can always collectivize to boot out the problematic one. And I don't know if they're going to get their way this time. I think that there's different factors at play. Like, you know, we saw with Carl when Katie leaves the room and goes and talks to Katie and Tayshia, and she says she was intending to keep Carl. We know that she absolutely has no interest in Carl. Like, she doesn't want to date that guy. The producers wanted him on because he's very dramatic and chaotic and yeah, wild
pot
TV.
Stir.
Right. Yeah. So I think similarly, they're going to want to keep Thomas because there's a pot stir aspect. But also, I think Katie does think Thomas is hot. So that adds another layer of like,
oh, yeah, yeah,
yeah, yeah. Yeah.
It's so weird how she keeps acting like, because you told me, now I will kick off so and so, or it's nothing to do with that. She likes them or she doesn't. The guy that Aaron successfully got kicked off, she had nothing to do with his intentions. She just didn't like him.
Cody.
Yeah. So I mean, Cody was going to go sooner or later. So it really didn't matter that he went then. Right. I think it's different with Thomas. I think she does. I got the vibe, especially when she like sat on his lap for that makeout the other week. I think she's attracted to Thomas. So that means she probably wants to keep him longer. Plus, the producers will probably like the angle of the men hating him, but he stays. So,
yeah,
I think he's in it for another couple of weeks at least.
He's so... Is it not fair to say when you are getting excited to do some big thing of all, like, all the possibilities that are in front of you?
It's not. There's unwritten rules to what you can and cannot say.
Sure, and he should not have said it. He's not that, but he got cornered and he got kind of like, well, you know, I don't know why, you know, Craig, this is a good time for you to have been Thomas's mentor, because you would have just said, lie your face off. Lie. Everyone is there to be the bachelor.
Yeah.
But, you know, why was he honest? That is so strange.
It is.
It's weird, and also like the way he was explaining himself, I don't think he did himself a lot of favors in that, like when he has the one-on-one time with Katie at the evening portion after this first started coming out, and he's like, listen, I didn't ask for you, and it was like, Thomas, don't say that, like, that's not you're not helping your case here by, like, I think there was a legitimate angle to say, like, I came here not knowing what would happen, and I didn't know, like, would we hit it off? Would we not? Like, I might as well just be on this show and see what happens, but now I feel like we are hitting it. Like, that's a pretty good sell, I think. But where he messed up was sort of, like, deeply being like, you know, I didn't give a shit about you until I came on, and now I feel like I am into you. That, and he kept on saying, like, you know, I have a lot of red flags that you can just ask me about. But, like, not really seemingly describing any of them.
Right, and he's never answered a question. He's never started off with answering a question. And no matter what he's trying to do, like, he's trying to holistically answer a question, just answer the damn question, you know? Start off with a yes or a no.
Yes.
And, like, and the way he's doing that makes him look so much shadier than he probably is, only because he seems so innocent. Like,
it absolutely
innocent.
Does make him seem shady, because it would be so much better for him to just be like, just say the thing that you're referring to, and then you do your explanation and follow up, right? Like, you don't just allude to there being a lot of mystery bad things about you.
I don't think anyone's crying that Carl is gone, even though he might have been right all along.
I don't think he knew that he was right, if that makes sense. I think he was like, I'm going to start something, assuming that there's probably something here, but I don't actually have any evidence of it.
Yeah, that's fair.
I think that he, like, he made a play, and he was actually right, but he had nothing to back it up with. And between, like, that and sort of his general chaos and weird personality, that, like, it just didn't play out for him. I did love the scene of him shadow boxing in a room by himself.
Yeah. Okay. Well, what about Aaron?
Who? What? Wait. Beginning scene. I just want, before we go into the other men, why I'm increasingly backing up my own thesis that I had no idea I was saying, but why is she being her own host?
Thank you for your time tonight. I just don't have the right mindset to give some of the guys the energy and time they deserve. I'm not going to give any more time to anyone else tonight. We're just going to go straight to the rose ceremony. So that being said, I'll just see you guys later.
Yeah, we'll see. Talking about Aaron kind of fits in with talking with Thomas and talking about Carl, because Aaron is the one that's pushing them getting kicked off. That's why I brought him up.
All right, we'll go back to Aaron in 1 second. I'm going to address EZR's point.
Okay.
Which was, I noticed this too, that Caitlin and Tayshia were very absent from this episode, right? That like,
and they, and when they appeared, were there, they were like, the good news about being on here is that you get to be on here. What's kind of circular logic advice is that?
Yeah, like they barely got airtime. The only times they appeared on screen were the last Rose announcement and when Katie went to talk to them after Mike P said Carl should leave. That was it. Otherwise, Katie just did her own stuff. Whereas the moment you played in past seasons, Chris Harrison would come out and say that to the group of people, right? To be like, the lead is done. The cocktail party is over, you know, where Katie did it this time. And that is sort of interesting that, yeah, that she's sort of self-hosting in a lot of ways, which makes it seem like the show is not totally clear on what they wanted Caitlin and Tayshia to do necessarily, or like that they're not setting stuff up well, or like something's going wrong on that aspect.
Yeah, it can't be Tayshia and Caitlin Bristow's fault, because you either are pulled out or you're not. You know, it's not like they're sitting there watching and they're missing their cues. This is not live television. So I am so, like, it's just...
Why does it bother you so much?
It bothers me because she's just not... You can't be in multiple headspaces. It cuts the fakeness of the reality TV. That's what bothers me, is that the host makes it seem like, you know, we're supposed to believe Katie is really distraught. If she has fortitude to say something like that in between her distraughtness, then it's not that distraught, right? It bothers me that it's right. It's cutting our illusion.
Yeah, I would also believe that Katie might be a lot better at handling her emotions than some of our past leads are, if that makes sense. That, like, you know, thinking back to like when this happened a bunch of times when Claire was the lead, I would totally buy that Claire would be crying too much to come out and say anything by herself. Katie seems a little bit more like she has a better handle on kind of, you know, controlling her emotions and staying on an even keel.
Right, except that she's like,
a bomb was dropped on me about multiple people still here for the wrong reason.
Wrong fucking reason. And I just, like, yes, I'm sure she can, like, compartmentalize and figure it out and, you know, take a breath and then come back. But she shouldn't have to. She's the bachelorette. That's like, you know, it's not DIY bachelorette. Have someone do it for you. It cuts the fantasy out for me. It doesn't make it fun. It makes it seem very unprofessional, I guess, or something like, this is not quality television anymore. Why not just watch a YouTube version of it? You know, I just feel like it's very not well. Like, I just, like with Tayshia, I would not want for her to be the second bachelorette runner-up in a half a season. The same thing for her. I don't want Katie to just have this crappy season. So anyways, back to my hosting fail rants. Okay, Aaron, go ahead.
Speaking of rants, I have a rant, but you told me I couldn't say it on air.
I told you you couldn't say it?
Over our text messaging.
Right, but I did not tell you you couldn't say it. I said, are you sure that's something you want to say?
That's not how you put it.
Well, I can tell you exactly what I said.
Easy, I was looking up the text
You're
messages.
Scaring me, Craig, like devil's advocate Keanu style.
That, to me, is don't say your rant on air.
Okay, yeah.
You're scaring me.
Go ahead and say your whatever you need to say, or Aaron, go ahead.
If it comes up, I'll say it.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Why don't you talk about Aaron? More.
Well, Aaron's got a lot of red flags, don't you think?
He is the confidant, and he is involved in a lot of the, you know, like he started the Cody stuff.
Well, his language is getting increasingly, what's the word I'm looking for? Aggressive, I guess. Especially if you looked at the previews for next week. He's saying, well, even at the end of this episode, he was like, Thomas needs to be exterminated.
No, he said he's a cancer that needs to be cut out.
Well, he said that, yeah.
He said both things. Oh, I did hear the extermination thing because I thought it was an interesting way of describing that, like, you just think he should leave and Katie shouldn't date him, right?
Now I understand that big words are probably difficult for Aaron, but still, he's using a lot of them for this, and I don't know, he's kind of showing some bro rage, roid rage or something.
Yeah, but doesn't he seem the perfect guy that's manipulated by the producers to be the way he's only reacting and there's no provocation is just super producer, you know.
Tell us how you feel about Thomas using colorful language. You think that's what they're asking?
So Thomas has been out here saying that he wants to be the Bachelor and roll tape. How do you feel about that? You know, like they're saying a bunch of things first because he seems like the perfect person who would react that way to it. Yes, he has that kind of muscly bro, you know, reactionary style. So they're like, oh, perfect. Here is a man that we can play up, that we can play for whatever we want.
When someone gets too much into other people's business, that's a red flag. And he's getting up in everyone else's business.
Right. I think that's what I'm trying to say is he is being forced into everyone else's business by the producers.
So you're defending Aaron. You think Aaron's a good guy.
I think he is a pawn, and I feel bad for him.
Okay. I used to think he was a pawn, and I used to feel bad for him. But now I think he's a macho, aggressive, getting everyone's business kind of guy who I'm not feeling so bad for anymore.
Well, is the people he's getting into their business... Is it really unjustified?
Yeah, it's just that he's the most vocal about it, and he's using colorful language. If it weren't for the colorful language, I probably wouldn't be so...
What's the color...
Exterminate cancer that needs to be cut out? And there's other lines, too.
That's exactly the provocation. Those are definitely... I think that's a case for Fed lines or, you know, what would you call someone that would want to go on the show and lie to Katie and make sure that they're the Bachelor, you know, I don't know. You can see it in his pawn confused face. This is why I like him being the leader as opposed to, like I said, a Tyler Cameron. I think he is in essence harmless and he will do what he thinks is right. And I feel for the guy, and I think he's trying to do the right thing. And they're cutting out all the bad parts.
All right, we can agree.
Aaron, I can't remember which guys he was talking to, but it was a conversation in the house, not a like to camera thing, where he was comparing Carl and Thomas in terms of, you know, why are these guys both the ones that everyone hates? And Aaron said Carl was just like too dumb, but Thomas is smart.
He was sitting
and I was like, you know, you have
table.
A point there, actually, is that Carl was too dumb to carry off the kinds of things he was trying to do, but Thomas does seem smoother in certain ways.
I think there's a case to be made for both of them being kind of both dumb and smart. Like Carl seems like a smart-ish guy. And Thomas seems kind of doofy, but he also seems kind of calculating. Like, I could see it both ways. So, yeah, I don't trust Aaron's take on anything either, you know, after all that.
Yeah, I think Aaron he makes sense to me now. You know, the other episode when Katie pulled Aaron to talk about what Carl had just told her. And everyone was kind of like, well, why is she pulling Aaron? But also Aaron seemed incredibly confused and had no idea what was going on. Yeah. I think it makes more sense to me now because it does seem like Aaron is somebody who is up in people's business. He is kind of a house gossip, right? Yeah. Which Katie would have potentially realized and been like, this guy will probably know the info. And that he has, I feel like they have more of a friend vibe, her and Aaron, which also makes more sense to be like, this is the guy I'm going to be, this is my confidant guy, right? This is the guy I'm asking for all the info. He's going to go far-ish, but he's not going to be in the top.
Would you date Aaron?
No.
No.
He seems, I don't get like bad guy vibes from him.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. Like, dude. I don't think he's a terrible person or anything. He's not my type at all. And I don't feel like we would have anything in common.
What, tall and handsome? That's not your type?
No, I mean, I like short, ugly guys who wear glasses. That's my type.
Oh, so Connor B, Michael.
Listen, I love Michael, so.
Okay, as cishet women, would you date Michael given his story and his that he's a single dad?
I want to get back to this. Can we get back to that question? Okay. Because I have a whole. Okay, so let's go into.
You just Curious George.
Yes. Yes, because that is really my. Ooh, that was well. I've never. Is there? Is it's that happens in the book? What do you mean?
You don't watch the Curious George television show on PBS Kids?
Oh right, no, I don't. No, oh. No. I only watch Arthur.
You only watch Arthur?
Yeah, Arthur's good.
Arthur was made like 40 years ago.
I love it Arthur. It is
very good. It is. It actually has stories that I'm like, oh, I want to know more about that. How can I be sensitive about this issue? I want to watch Arthur on it. It's way more like, it's actually like more for me because I'm trying to explain something. And I'm like, oh my God, this is such a good way to explain it. I love Arthur. Anyway,
oh,
no.
Oh boy.
I never watch Arthur, Craig, though. I'm in all seriousness, everybody. I think it's more of an adult show than a kid's show.
All right.
Okay. So it makes sense that Caitlin Bristow wasn't there when there was a Nick Vial weird AA meeting with the guy.
Nick Vial is not a qualified therapist. We need to say that right out front.
No. And
well, to be fair, there's so no strange. Qualified therapists at AA meetings.
No, that's true. But in like a group therapy environment, that would be led by somebody who knew what they were doing. Whereas,
right.
Nick is just kind of a guy who's been on the show.
But it's also like classic projection. He is the ultimate wrong reasons guy. And he's like, I'm here to find out if everyone else is here for the same reasons that I should never have been here for. Right. Like, he is such a sleaze. And he's horrible. And he was only on there for fame. And he has no bankable skills. So he has to be an influencer and a crappy podcast host. He's horrible. He's like the face of what's wrong with Bachelor, but he somehow weasels his way in at all like crevices. But what's the, I don't.
Crevasses.
I would say crevice instead of crevasse, just putting it out there. I get why Nick Vial is so popular because that's the type of guy I absolutely would have dated in my 20s, even though you know he's bad news. You know what I mean? He has a charm about him that makes it work. I was also really hoping when he was in the previews, it's like, oh, Nick's going to be on an episode. I was like, you know what I would absolutely love? If Nick came on and tried to join Katie's cast, would love it.
Right. Because he did it to Caitlin Bristow. And now she's the host. And then,
it would be so good.
Well, hey, we get Bad Beard Blake instead. He's coming on.
What a piss poor substitute for Nick Vial.
Well, Nick Vial could never. He's too high up to join a cast at this point.
Yeah.
You know, that's the problem is that's how he weaseled his way in again. Is because when he was down in the contestant tier of Bachelor World, he got to be the Bachelor from being on two or seasons. It's very, very frustrating that he just, yeah, he's just a weasel. Anyway, AA meeting. This is the frustrating part to me. The words rape and alcoholic were not mentioned. Why?
Well, or okay.
Maybe it was an assault, but so still, why not say sexual assault?
Let's talk about the alcohol one first.
Connor B.
Connor B.
And
thank
his
you.
Story, which
the Catman.
Yeah, the Catman. When he was doing the build up to his story,
yeah,
you know, he's
he made
talking
it
about
sound
how
like it was going to be the worst thing ever.
I thought that he was going to either say he hit his girlfriend and it was a domestic
yeah.
abuse thing, or that he like had drunk driven and murdered somebody. Like that's the level
exactly.
I thought we were going to get.
So I tweeted, is it just, you know, basically, is it just me, or does this not seem like that bad of a story, or am I desensitized because I've had a lot of questionable behavior in my past? But it just didn't seem that big of a deal.
Don't you think that is very calculated from Connor to have been just this, like, I slept with someone else.
Oh,
I literally,
yeah. I got drunk like, and high and slept with someone else.
He sniffled with no tears. There is nothing more annoying to me on The Bachelor than someone who sniffles with no tears. I think it was purposefully a kind of benign bad guy story. Like, yeah. Oh, one time I never, you know, I didn't close the fridge all the way, and then there, you know, it just seemed like such a purposeful
dish soap in the dishwasher by accident.
Yeah, it was so cute of me. Like, he does a very stupid cute face. He is the human equivalent of like a goo line that comes off of your face. Now let me tell you why, because he bugged me so well, whatever, like a spit, like he's a spittle line.
You're a catch. You really are.
Come here. Ew, come here. Ew! Listen to that goo.
I have not felt like this in a really, really long time.
And he's the world's worst actor. He's reminding me of Zach.
I haven't felt this way since I got drunk and high and slept with somebody else.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Well, here, let's talk to your point though earlier on, EZR. Let's talk about alcoholic because you can drink a lot your whole life and not be an alcoholic. You can drink once or twice in your life and be an alcoholic. So
yes.
he didn't need to say, "Oh, I was an alcoholic," because that's for him that's his call. And just because he was drinking a ton at an earlier age in his life doesn't mean he was an alcoholic by any means.
He alluded to being an alcoholic. It wasn't the amount he was drinking. It was the
yeah.
he
bad
himself
behavior.
Spirally, he had to like consult self-help and all this. Like that is an alcohol. Those are all the lead ups to saying he's an alcoholic.
But he didn't say it because it sounded like he just stopped drinking and started reading self-help books.
Well, we're not even sure if he stopped drinking is the
thing.
Yeah,
it's true.
Because
he never
said that, which would have made the story stronger to me if he had said, you know, well, first of all, I did kind of laugh at, he said he spiraled into being all about that life being that he worked in a piano bar.
A piano bar. Which,
yes.
Honestly, is a life a lot of us would want to have.
Yeah, so, that's why there's so many
sense,
humble brags
right?
in there. Like,
I don't know if a piano bar is a humble brag, honestly. It is a working musician job, and that is something that a lot of people would like. That's true. Yeah. But yeah, the way he sort of built it up is, you know, he drank too much and he was drinking too much consistently. And then he also got high and he had sex with this other woman and he cheated, right? And then he, you know, felt so bad that he hurt someone else. It's like, well, you know what you could have said in there is, you felt so bad about hurting somebody that you stopped drinking.
Right.
Like,
exactly.
That would have been a stronger point to make than to just say, like, you reflected on your behavior and you read self-help books. Like, sure, great. That's good. But, like, if your story is that the reason the cheating happened is that you were out of control in a substance abuse kind of way, then it would make logical sense to say, maybe I should stop having substances.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
He's just a wienermobile. I hate him. I hate him irrationally. He's also the Jed, right? He's also there to promote his music career and not be a math teacher anymore.
He has Jed vibes for sure.
Yeah. There's a lot wrong with him. And I don't, he also has that wiener vibe. He has the Zach too. He's a Zach Jed hybrid. I don't like him. Anyway.
Okay, so that's
what about
the
book. Well, what about at the least word Zach race had the said. Oh, sorry, go ahead.
Yeah. Oh, I was gonna say at least Zach had the fortitude to be like, well, now I don't do substances.
Zach also
middle ground that like Connor is trying to tread there with, you know, he had a party lifestyle that went too far, but don't worry, he read self-help books. So to your point about the word rape not being used, I actually really understand why she very explicitly used this phrase that was like a sexual situation where consent was not given, right? And I think that the reason why she didn't call it rape, and some of this might be like a generous reading based on my own past experiences, is that she didn't think of it as a rape for a long time because of that gray area that she talked about of being like, this happened. And then she tried to have a relationship with this guy because she was like, she didn't think of it as a rape at the time. She thought of it as like, exactly, that she was rationalizing and being like, well, now I'm going to date him. And then it spiraled into this whole situation. And I was like, oh, I absolutely know what it feels like to be like, there was a weird sexual situation where I don't feel like I gave consent, but I also didn't explicitly not give consent. And I don't know if I would call it a rape or not for me. But like, yeah, so I feel like I get sort of that reasoning of being like, for a long time, she had thought of it as like, it was a bad night, not a rape, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it does. But the only reason I kind of took that it didn't happen was because they also didn't say the word alcoholic or drug addiction. And so, you know, when everyone else's problems are kind of personal and specific to their person, those two things seem like they have a clear title and they weren't purposefully used because it's Monday night Disney owned property. Like if it was just one of those words not being used, then I'd be like, okay, yeah, sure. The reason is the reason, but both of the clear like packages that they come in, and she could have said assault, but the way she said it was very like sidesteppy.
I'm trying to remember what was the language that Kaylin Miller Keyes used in her. I think she said like assault. I don't think she said rape, right?
No,
and I think it might have been a similar. That's a word that the producers don't want said in a black and white way because it's a Monday night family television show. Like, I think you're right that there is a certain aspect of like they don't want it labeled in a very explicit term, even though the whole date, right, this like AA group therapy date is full of stuff that is like upsetting,
right?
So if you're going into this thing of like, we're gonna have at least 10 to 15 minutes of people talking about things that are pretty dark, it does seem weird that they would draw the line at saying like, you can't label these things with the words that they can be labeled by. But I do think that there is a good chance that like that was a producer kind of intervention to be like, talk about this in ways that makes it clear that this is what you're talking about without using the word.
Yeah. It's very, it seems purposeful. Okay. Now, are you ready to talk about the widower?
The widower sounds like a like superhero name.
Oh, really?
The widower.
That is a superpower. Is being, you know, one of these lovesick puppy dogs I'm talking about. He is the widower, like in a crazy superhero way, for sure.
Did he give a testimony during the AA meeting?
No, he wasn't on that day.
Oh, okay.
Why would he? Oh my goodness, Craig.
Sorry, hey, it's Craig,
you did not pay attention.
Do you know the dynamics of the show?
Yeah. Oh,
So he wasn't on the group date because he had the one-on-one right after, but he did have, he had a scene with...
Oh, right. I guess that's...
Those two other guys. It was Mike P. the Virgin, and I'm forgetting the name of the other one.
Yeah, no, they were like on a picnic together.
Yeah.
Right.
They had a group date themselves. Yeah, they were on a group date for just the three, but...
They were like doing yoga together or something.
And so, yeah, they had sort of a pre-date conversation that teed us all up to what was going to happen when he talked to Kate.
Right. Okay. We're all clear now.
Okay. Here, I'm going to go into Mike. The Mikes don't look like Mikes. The Connors are douche nozzles. Like, I don't, it's very hard for me to keep these names straight right now. Do you guys know who Jason Sudeikis is? Sudeikis.
Yes.
You know who that actor is, mm-hmm. right? He's a comedian. He's just your average, frumpy, like, white dude comedian. He married Olivia Munn, right? Is that this her name? I feel like I said it, and then I'm like, wait, that's not her name.
No, I think, hang on, wasn't he with Olivia Wilde?
Olivia Wilde, thank you. Olivia Wilde. They look the same. Those two women, there's a handful of women who, if Chrissy Teigen wasn't so famous, I would probably lump her in there too, who kind of look very similar to me. They have very square jaws.
Yeah, square
jaws. Yeah. And they're just like glamorous and like fake tans, but they look very now. Anyway, he was married to like this woman that he was, in a way, was way out of his league. Right. And he was recently dumped by this woman, and she started dating someone who, at least on paper, is way more in her league, Harry Styles.
Yeah, that's a... I mean, just based on, like, looks, that's an upgrade.
Yeah. And he, I don't know him, but I feel like he is spiraling. He's like, oh, my God, not only did my wife leave me, but she left me for, like, a hot dude. I will never get her back. He seems like, doesn't he? I've only watched, like, the ET interviews every once in a while, but he's just been in, like, gym clothes since he's been dumped.
Okay.
That makes me feel sad.
Where am I going with this?
I'm dying to know how this relates to Michael.
This has an overall... This guy looks like him. He's like acting like him. He's totally broken up about... I mean, his wife died. It's very different. But it just has that feel to him of like a lovesick puppy dog. Doesn't he? Doesn't he even look like him?
I can see, like, a facial resemblance, and their vibes are a little similar, yeah.
I think the circumstances are a little different, though.
They're very different. They're very, very, very different. But I just had that.
Go ahead.
Oh, he just had that flash of, like, this guy is that guy. They just ended up on different places. Anyway. Never mind. It didn't go where I wanted it to in my head. But when I saw him, I was like, this guy has that story. He's like, I want to talk more about him being a widower, but I had that Jason Sudeikis like energy with him. They seem similar to me.
We spent an awful long time on Jason Sudeikis with not very much payoff. So
it's an important parallel. It's an important. I think it'll come out later as a much more interesting parallel. I don't know how. I just feel it. Anyway, do women really like this broken wing syndrome, or like?
Here's my answer to that, because I was kind of thinking about this too. The answer is yes. Women do like the broken bird thing, and he will make it far because she likes how seems to be handling it. That's very. I'm at a loss for words today. I can't formulate words in my head. I feel like Aaron.
Aaron or Thomas when he was trying to explain his actions to the group of men. I will say I agree with Craig here.
Wait, I'm not done. Women do. I can't.
Oh.
Women like the broken bird. He'll go far, but he won't win because ultimately, why would a woman choose a guy with a K kid when she can choose a guy without a kid. There.
It's not about the kid, though. It's about that he's had a special connection before. And I think a lot of women consider that a trait. I do not.
You get jelly.
No, you know what? It is jealousy, but it's also like, dude, you need a lot more time than I'm willing to give. I do not have, I do not need to fix you or help you or worry about you. I think he's going to have a breakdown because this is too soon. It's too soon. She died in 2019. And then he went through a year that wasn't much of a year. That was like being alone.
Right.
So, forcefully alone. And I don't, he said great things. He said two great things. He said, our love is unique, has to be unique for it to thrive, which is very insightful. And, you know, falling in love twice. But I think it is so weird that dads need to find a new mom, like they're looking for firewood. Like it is I think it's borderline pathology because it is not, if the same thing happens to a woman, it would be seen as strange. And this is not, I'm not playing the double standard thing, but it is so strange. Don't you think he's looking for a mom for his kid?
Well, I would too. I mean, imagine raising a 4-year-old by yourself.
You do not need a sex partner to do that.
Right. You could hire help.
Yeah, you can hire people. And he'd mentioned his son is with his parents while he's on the show. So presumably you could have a situation where like maybe you move in with your parents to help raise the kid. Right.
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
I would say I have a lot of thoughts on what you both just said.
Go ahead.
I agree with Craig that, women love this. As a woman who dates men, I totally love Michael right now.
I'm like, I date Michael. I am a cishet woman. I do not. But just for the record.
But for me, it's something where I think the way he was able to express himself made him much more attractive, right? That like the points that you just brought up about him saying like, you know, in order for him to have a good relationship with someone after this, it has, you know, it's unique. It has to be different. It's not comparing to his dead wife, which is a really mature way of thinking about it and made him more attractive to me. As far as the kid thing, I actually would love to date somebody who already has a kid and doesn't want more kids because I don't like babies and I don't want to be physically pregnant, but I like children and older kids and being around them. So I'm like, oh yeah, stepmom life is something I would love to
I was not expecting to hear you say
I was like, oh, that's like a perfect vibe for me. It's like, is your child like elementary school aged and above? Love it. Wow. And hopefully you don't want to have any more because I probably don't want to have them with you.
You got to put that on your Tinder profile.
So wait a minute. I think like natural follow-up question here. As you know, elementary school kids are not just, you know, Chuck E. Cheese and backyard parties. They have so much going on that when it comes to discipline, I think, where does a step, like, would you just leave it all up to the biological parent?
Yeah, I think that's a hard one in a case where the mom is alive. Totally, you leave it up to them, I think. Oh. Or you have conversations about like what, you know, like the two of you make these decisions before I would, and I maybe weigh in at the end or something. In sort of a Michael situation where the other parent is deceased.
Yeah.
I think you got to step in and be like, you know, if you're in that situation where you're somebody who's marrying somebody like Michael, right, who has a kid, who is a widower, that you have to be ready to be like, oh, I'm basically the mom, you know, like that you don't hand off that responsibility that you would have to. You're like, listen, he's biologically your child, but if you're living with them and you're raising them like they're your kid, then yeah, you absolutely should be involved in discipline and things like that.
It just would be the hardest thing when the kid was raised a certain way
up until a certain point.
Yeah, and then also genetically not like you. Therefore, you can't really like figure out sometimes where the whatever trauma lies or where the issue could rest because of their genetic back. I would have a lot of really, you know, and I've known people who are step parents who have a really hard time figuring things out because not just like the, well, where do I stand, you know, just what do I do? But also, let's just say I have a plan of action. I can't implement it because I'm not sure if this is what they want. I'm not sure if this is what I should do. I think it's just so messy that I could, I think that's why a lot of people don't want to date people with kids.
Yeah, I think that's definitely like a challenge, right? And like Craig, like you were joking, but like, you're not my real mom is the comeback for any time the kid would be mad at you. I think like, yeah, that's something that they would say because they assume it's going to hurt you. I feel like for me, I'm like, yeah, I'm not your biological mom. It wouldn't hurt me to be told like, I'm not your biological mom, because like, I know that, we all know that, right? But more of a, that, you know, in that kind of family situation, it's not about being the biological parent. It's about like having formed that unit together and raising them like they were a kid that you gave birth to, right? Mm-hmm. And with Michael's situation, in some ways, that kid is 4 now, right? He was 2 when his mom died. He's not going to have the same amount of memories about a dead parent, right? That like, right, it's the kind of situation where you'd be more worried about, like, as they grow older, talking about the deceased mom in a way to like keep her memory alive, right? Rather than him directly comparing the new stepmom to his biological mom, because he probably wouldn't be able to do that.
Well, this open mindset, Caitlin, you've unlocked a whole segment of men that you can now date. Like, there's a lot of good-looking dads out there.
I'm just like, yeah, single dads are the vibe. I'm looking, you know, preferably wealthy, because I don't make a lot of money. So I really need something to help support the graduate student lifestyle.
You know, I don't know. Okay, so I am bothered that there is this need for single dads to find a stand-in for their ex-wife or the in this case, well, whoever it is, the kid's mom. I think
don't you say the same thing when the genders are reversed?
No, because that doesn't happen. Women will stay single forever. Women will not
no, because what's her name, the really skinny woman who's been on Bachelor in Paradise a couple times, and
Amanda,
we were constantly talking about how she was looking for a man to be the daddy of her kids,
maybe. But I, in real life, Craig, I have known people who have become widowers, and I have known people who the mom has just taken off, and they are on the hunt for a sex partner / mother to them and their kids. When I've known women who have had to, the dad has taken off or has died, they are not in that kind of rush. In real life, we're talking about real life here, because that's the, like, I can't speak on, Bachelor is not, this is very common for men to do. And I think it's, primal or,
I don't necessarily agree with you. Do you ever watch the ABC show Step by Step?
Wait, no. See, I knew you were going to bring in like a lot of other things that aren't true. Can you tell me your real life, anyone you know? Isn't this common in real life to just look for a partner? I know someone.
Yes, on both sides of the genders. That's what I'm saying. Really? That's all I'm saying. Yeah.
With a kid, mom will be like, I'm looking for a dad for my, looking for a dad or looking for a provider.
Amanda Stanton is exactly that. She disproves your theory.
You don't know her. You don't know her. I'm talking about someone you know. I can tell you that though, in the last 5 years, I've known a mom who died. We have kids who are the same age. The dad is almost, I think he's engaged right now, because he was looking for a mom for his kid.
Great. Good for him.
No, but that's weird.
If the situation was reversed gender-wise, I think you'd find the woman would be engaged.
No, because
too.
I know lots of I actually do know a lot more.
So you're telling me I can't use TV as an example, and you're using anecdotal evidence as an example. So we're both
you're seriously talking about sitcoms versus real life. That's not really. Tell me a real life story. I know lots of
Step by
moms.
Step had Patrick Duffy and Susan Sarandon. No, not Susan Sarandon. Susan Summers. Yeah. It was a great show.
That's not the point. This is not the Brady Bunch. We're talking about a real life thing, and I think it's strange. I think it's.
I think lots of
cave,
couples.
Cave mind. Cave I, like.
I think lots what? Of. I think lots of people that both have kids get together. So the woman has kids and the man has kids and they get together, much like Step by Step.
Okay, wait a minute. No. Draw from your real life. I'm not saying cite papers, but I'm not saying cite fictional shows where remember that episode where Urkel left Family Matters and landed in Step by Step because it was TGIF?
No.
Oh my God, look it up. It's hilarious because he landed in a jetpack. On Step by Step.
There's a whole somewhere on the internet there's a whole thesis on how the ABC TGIF shows are in the same universe and the connections between them. It's pretty cool.
Okay. Well, Michael Widower guy is definitely going to be the next Bachelor, right? Because ABC believes in this mission to have this guy have a sex partner and a mother for his kid.
I think there's a good chance he could be the next Bachelor because everyone in Bachelor Nation is absolutely responding to his story, right? And he's also very like everyman in sort of the way that he looks, which is something that I think can be appealing to a certain extent, right? Like he's not like a model or, you know what I mean? He's like a normal guy. Yeah. And I do think that there is, I think Ezer, you have a point about there being more of like a societal push. I think to say like single dads who very much want to have a wife, a partner, because it feels like, you know, sort of the way that parenting is often gendered still, even in this time, that like the woman is more in charge of the children, right? So they see it as like, you know, well, you got to have a woman in there to help with this. Whereas I do think that women who are single moms are sometimes looking for, you know, like they want somebody to help raise the kids. They want someone to help bring in another income. That kind of stuff is still a driver, but it's less of this weird, like, well, the woman's the one who really does the raising. So like, well, you're already the mom. So you've already got that covered.
Yeah. And I don't disagree that there needs to be female energy, whatever that means, to raising a kid, because there's a lot of care that a mom gives that's different than what a dad gives. I don't disagree with that at all. I think finally having had kids, I'm like, oh my God, how important is it that I'm home? Because you guys are the biggest mess and dad doesn't care. I agree that there's like a it's like a mess, but it's also like mental, like a lot of mental work that women do before they even like move their hand to do something that's a mom thing. So I don't like the problem here is that we should no one's acknowledging it. Everyone's all the good work is on Jason Sudeikis or whatever, widower bachelor to kind of like find this woman. And I think it's, we're skipping a lot of steps to acknowledge that he needs to find this wife. I think we just need to say it on the way. I'm not trying to do like moms are so important, you know, mom life. Like I'm not trying to do anything like that. I just think it's important that if we're going to like redefine all our gender roles and like acknowledge what gender roles are important or when they're important, let's say them all. Let's say why he has like this primal need to find like a, to like beat a wife over the head and bring her back to his cave. Like, that's how it feels. Doesn't it? It feels so, so primal to him. And
I don't know if I agree with that, because he said multiple times that this is a chance for him to get out and start experiencing life again. That's a little different than what you're saying.
He's smart about it. I think he's intentional about it, but I don't think he is more, he's doing, his actual actions are not different than someone that's like more Neanderthal about it. He has a air of desperation.
Wow. I didn't feel the desperation. And first of all, I thought the kisses he had with Katie are better than she has with some of the other guys. Like, whenever she kisses Connor B, it feels very messy to me.
Whereas
with her and Michael, I was like, oh, he went in for a butt grab. Nice.
Oh. I wanted to play the Connor goo, the goo kiss.
The mouth noises are, I don't like looking at them kiss on TV. I don't like to look at that.
His head
I feel like
is so small.
It makes all that goo sense in his mouth with some of the other guys, right? Ugh. But I do think less of the caveman thing that you bring up, EZR, and more of the, that I think it might be too soon for Michael to be seriously dating somebody else
soon.
In terms of, you know, the wife died in 2019. It's only 2021. It's not, I mean, he talks a good game in terms of, you know, realizing that he's only said I love you to one person. He was with one person for, he said 16 years. That's a long time.
Yeah, I graduated high school. That's when oh my God.
That's an incredibly long partnership. The only person he's been in love with, and she died. That's a hard thing to carry, bringing into dating somebody else, no matter how much he seems like he's given thought to being like, well, how would I approach this? And how does it make sense? It's still something where it feels like, yeah, I think he might leave because it becomes like too much or too real. Right.
Oh, yeah.
That like,
and he should.
That, yeah. That, and it makes
that's
sense.
That's best out right now. Yeah.
It's very soon to be legitimately thinking about being engaged to somebody else.
Yeah. Yeah. So hopefully he'll have enough time between now and becoming the bachelor. Because it makes sense no other way to me. Okay, that's all, Widower. That was my big, like, what is going on here? Why is this okay with women? But I get your point. I get your point, Caitlin. Like, there was a long time. You know, I like babies. And I like young. But I don't like mouthy little shits. Like, kids. I hate.
Oh,
like,
I love mouthy little shits. That's my preferred age. I like when they can talk back to you.
Oh. Anyway. Don't call CPS. Go ahead.
Oh boy. Okay.
I'm done with Widower. I'm done.
What's next?
Not that much. I mean, we only had, as far as dates this week, we had the group date and the one-on-one with Michael, and the second group date didn't happen yet. Mm-hmm. Because the end of this was the men.
It was like
all,
the end of last week.
Yeah, yeah, kind of like the end of last week, where the men have all collectively been like, listen, we hate Thomas. We all agree that he's bad. We don't want him dating Katie. And now I guess what we see in the upcoming weeks is like, are they going to be successful in their second play for collectivizing together to kick out another man? Or is Katie going to kind of do what Hannah B did on her season to be like, yeah, I get you don't like him, but at the end of the day, it doesn't matter if you don't like him.
Right.
It's another push for the union talk, please. They're like, I like the way they're using this. I'm like, just unionize. There you are. You're on TV right now. Do it. But whatever. They're not going to do it.
Right. do we have any fashion? Because Katie basically wore the same outfit most of the night. And then during her one-on-one date with Michael, she just kind of wore something plain anyway.
Yeah, not too much. I mean, I liked the silver dress she wore for the evening portion of the group date. I thought was cute on her.
With the gigantic man coat over
The gigantic man coat. I was wondering if that was one Part of the men's outfit. Coats or but, if that's well, her she, own.
She walked up with it.
Which makes me think it's her own piece of clothing, right? As opposed to a man taking off his suit jacket and putting on her, but I guess it's also possible that we didn't see that and that happened. Right. But yeah, the jacket was not doing any favors. She took it off on some of the conversations with the men, and you could actually see the dress, and it was cute then. And not exactly clothes, but I did like, speaking of Michael the Widower, he has a tattoo on his arm that's like three solid stripes that goes around. Y'all saw that? I actually liked it. It's very tattoo. Normie, but it's that, very normie white man tattoo, right?
Right, but isn't that an appropriation? That's a Maori tribal tattoo that were appropriated and now are like out of style.
Is it? I didn't notice it because it wasn't like you know, you think of like the tribal style of tat, it wasn't like that kind of thing, but it could be one I haven't seen that's a Maori tattoo.
I'm not sure where, but I think it's a tribal tattoo, and it the tribal tattoo fad of like the late 90s is so bothersome because it's not your tribe or your it's cultural appropriation. So I'm glad you guys brought this up. The tattoos are, especially Hunter, right? The
Hunter has a full sleeve on that one arm, right?
I was going to ask.
Hunter is another single dad.
What you think of Hunter?
This is not necessarily about Hunter, but half a generation ago, this tattoo thing on The Bachelor was not. This is what they consider a hot guy thing is now to just have whatever tattoos.
I don't know if I would call Hunter hot.
No. This is what they want to portray as a hot guy. You don't look at their face, you just look at the surroundings of their aesthetics. A hot guy has tattoo, washboard abs, and a doofy haircut. And he looks good in suits. Like, they have these checklists. It doesn't matter what they look like.
A doofy haircut.
Who's the guy with the huge V-neck, the black V-neck at the end? His hair is kind of puffy, and he has those wing tattoos.
The Canadian firefighter. I'm forgetting his name right now. But yeah, that's him. I think it's Brendan sounds right to me. Yeah, his tattoos are stupid. But I do have to say, as a tattooed person, I sometimes like stupid tattoos on a man. It's something endearing to a certain extent, right? To be like,
I cannot.
Well, let me tell you about tattoos on men I've been on dates with, right? There's one who he had a dancing taco on his leg and it said it's taco time underneath. I have dated a man who had a broken heart behind his ear and also had the DC flag in flames on his bicep.
Whoa.
Right? And this one reminded me a lot of Michael's tattoo. I dated this guy who had, it was the Italian flag, but in like a full stripe around the arm, like a continuous stripe of Italian flag.
Yeah.
Whoa.
So I don't mind
bad tattoos. We've established that.
Oh, I do because here's, okay. So I guess here's my second part of my appropriation rant. You know, I say half a generation ago on The Bachelor, it was not okay to have them, or if it was, it'd be like some kind of point of contention. And actually, I have a good example. On Ashley's season, there was a guy who got a tattoo during the season because he was one of these lovesick puppy dogs. I think he was the original lovesick puppy dog. He got a tattoo that said, like, to love and to guard and protect your heart. And it was a heart with how many men were left, including him. Like, every heart was one man. And so talk about it, I think no one beats that bad tattoo. Like, you know, he got a tattoo because he was on a reality TV show with the remaining contestants signified with a heart. There was a time when it was considered, and I know this might be a generational thing, but it was considered ghetto to have a lot of tattoos, and now it's not. And
yes, I know what you mean.
And I think that growing up with a lot of people who had a lot of tattoos and it being completely normalized for me, no one has ever said that's weird or that's not professional because everyone I know had them. I knew 16-year-olds who had them. right? I grew up in a place where it was very normal. And it's a little frustrating that, like, it's like everything. It's like, now it's cool. Okay, now it's acceptable. I think my best example right now, okay, I'll give you a good example of bad tattoos I've seen, but let me give you, do you guys watch HDTV?
Not really.
Yeah, not really either.
There is a host who's kind of a floating host, and I don't remember his name. He is a man who, his main hosting gig is a show called My Lottery Dream Home. He has tattoos for the sake of attracting other men. He is not like a cool, he just thinks he looks so cool. He wears shirts to attract other, like he has a tattoo that's half on his neck that's like a tiger and on his hands just to look like a hot dude. There is no, he is a fake. He's a host of a damn HDTV show. He's not some hard dude.
If I ever got a tattoo, I do not have tattoos, but if I were to ever get one, it would be to look cool.
It's, that to me is weird. That the tattoos at one, okay, look, I guess if we're gonna talk about weird dating things, I've dated guys who have themes, right? Like there was a guy who had like Disney death scenes, like weird.
Whoa.
So like, but not That's ones heavy. That were actually in the movie, but ones that he decided. So there was one, you know how Tigger jumps on Pooh Bear, like on his belly. This is a tattoo of Tigger coming out of his belly with blood everywhere. Like a bunch of things.
Oh
like
my
that.
God.
How long right? did that date last with this guy?
I don't care about tattoos, I guess. Not long.
You just said you don't like them. You said you
don't.
Them.
I don't. My point is they make no difference to me at all in how I think about the person. Here is. Okay, I'll give you another one.
I will
I'll give
say,
you a really good one.
For me, they do, like, I find it weird to date somebody who doesn't have tattoos at this point because I have so many, if that makes sense, that like I have dated untattooed men and in a certain sense I'm like, huh, that's weird. Why haven't I gotten one yet? It's so easy. You right. know? But ooh, I have another bad one to share quickly. I've forgotten about this in my earlier iteration. I went on a few dates with this dude who had, it was like right above his like pelvic bone area. It said, babe, I'm going to leave you.
Oh, you told us. You told us this
yes.
story.
Yeah.
That Ooh, guy, worst tattoo, I think.
I think they used to convey something, and I think they no longer convey anything. That's my ultimate point, is that
no, I
feel like
see
they're
what
fad.
You mean.
Yeah.
They are very, I think when I was growing up, similar to what you were saying, like it was seen as like being tattooed, especially being like heavily tattooed, like having sleeves and stuff like that, was seen as a very kind of like lower class thing in a certain way, right? That it was like these people don't have real in quotes jobs, they're, you know, they've been to jail or whatever. It was like often kind of the connotation. It is right. not at all the connotation anymore.
Oh,
that
no.
like it nope. is very normal for like everyone to have like my mom
face
was
tattoos.
So upset when I got tattoos because she thought I'd never be able to get a job. Like right. that was in her head. And I'm like, it's different, mom. Like people don't also I can cover mine at work if I need to. It's not the end of the world, but it's also a kind of world where it doesn't matter as much
right.
to people.
Right. It doesn't matter at all because everyone, you know, my kids' grandparents have to, you know, I think it's normal have tattoos.
Right.
I don't think it's totally weird
yeah.
at all.
It seems like incredibly normal to me.
Yeah. Let me just tell you one good story, though, because now.
Wait. Play
I don't.
Music.
What? Oh, no. This is not about me. This is I think this is the only reason to ever, you know, whatever. I have tattoos. I think it's completely normal. I don't think anyone really should care about it. That's my problem, is that it's still considered like a weird hot guy thing when it's, or a weird whatever thing, and it's not weird. It's totally normal, and it's like, you know, there's nothing more normal at this point. But
it's not an edgy bad boy thing.
Yeah, but they're considering it like a hot guy thing on The Bachelor, which is new.
Well, because The Bachelor
because
is so far behind,
right? Because it's
like
10 years behind,
trends.
Exactly. Yeah. So, I dated a guy who was he had a weird story. You know, his dad was a famous metal musician, and who knows, you know, typical Venice Beach type dude, right? But like a good dude. But he went to jail. And
he was a good dude, but you know, he went to jail.
Oh yeah, unrelated. He went to jail. Right. So when you go to jail, there's this like entrance interview. He was trying to get into the gay wing because there's a gay wing here in Los Angeles. So that, you know, you get picked on less. But he was also a Dance Dance Revolution champion. And so he had a Dance Dance Revolution tattoo that was rainbow. And so you can't just say, I'm gay, put me in the gay wing. You have to prove it, quotes. Right. So he showed that tattoo and he got in the gay wing. And then they had a fashion show. Yeah. So anyway, sometimes you work for...
I had not heard of the gay wing. And honestly, I mean, that does seem like the better wing of the prison, right? You have a fashion show in there.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So anyway, I just think, I am not a fan of the tattooing for the tattooing's sake, because it's, like I said, I think it's not fair. It's not fair to three generations ago where, you know, all these guys are not, you know, it's just not fair. I think that's my problem with it.
What did he go to jail for?
Was it just like
drug possession or something?
Probably something low. I think something higher than that, but I don't know. I don't want to say for sure because I don't know. But I can guess.
One last question.
Uh-huh.
Did him going to jail end your dating of him?
No, I met him right after jail.
Oh.
Yeah.
So he just got out.
He's probably back in. You know, he's.
Oh no,
good dude.
How'd you meet him? You're just hanging out in Venice.
No, I don't. I don't know. That's a good question. I said probably at a party. I know I knew him from someone, but then I didn't remember how I knew him.
He was like, I was just in jail, and you're like, ooh, yeah.
Craig, some of us lead different lives than your. We don't ask questions like that.
No, he would have volunteered that info.
The thing was, I wouldn't have asked, except that I said, why do you have a Dance Dance Revolution tattoo? And he's like, this little sucker got me.
Yeah, got me in the gay wing.
Gotcha. Yeah. Yeah. Huh. Interesting.
Okay. Yeah. You know who I love?
No, I love that.
Oh. Is Justin, the face man. He's making the best, like, Winona Ryder faces on The Bachelor. The guy who every time someone talks, he's like, they kept doing a close-up on his face of him going like,
yes,
like doing all the emojis, the range of emojis that I have on my Android. He's such a, I love that guy. He is so cute. And he seems super sincere. He said to camera, he's like, there's a bunch of good dudes here. Like, I'm like, whoa, look at this guy. This guy's great. So I'm looking out for Justin, much like Trey, who also kind of was.
Oh, I love
right fighter in the way I would be. Like, I hate this guy. Get him out of here. Like, Trey was entertaining to watch.
Yeah, Trey is fun. And he just seems like, I don't know, I hope he goes far. I like him. And I do like Justin's wild face expressions. They also seem to me like something he's not putting on, something he just does in his normal life.
Right.
Yeah. He has such an expressive face too. Like, if he didn't have that, like, you know, he does the, like, he uses his whole face to emote.
And yes, his eyebrows, cute. His lips, the whole thing, it's all involved. So he's great. He's great for camera time because they'll be like, somebody does something, quickly shoot over to Justin to see what he's doing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So hopefully he'll be the next Bachelor too. Anyway, okay, I'm done.
Well, we got to wrap this up here pretty soon. Is there any other fashion stuff, Caitlin?
Nothing that really stood out to me. There weren't any, you know, very strong men's outfits. What Katie wore in the one-on-one was like a pretty basic casual outfit.
Yeah.
Speaking of men being really late to a trend on The Bachelor, I mean, The Bachelor is kind of reflective of how middle America tends to take to a trend lately. The mauve, the like light pink Instagram that they're finally wearing. These men, I saw three men wearing light pink, or maybe two. Or maybe they were like light red stripes with white. And so when it was on camera, it looked pinkish. I thought that was a good look on a lot of these men. But I think, again, like a generation ago, that would have been seen as emasculating or not a good color for them.
Yes. Similar to the rise of the turtleneck on Bachelor in the last few seasons, I think is another example of something that like middle American men did not used to wear, but it has now become like, ooh, looks good.
Right. Yeah. And see, and this is why I can't trust a lot of men on The Bachelor, like as being actual good dudes, because all they're doing is following the trend. They're not actually being themselves. And so I have a lot of like reservations for people who, you know, it carries over into all parts of life. When you say, you know, when you're just following the trend, you say, I would have never done what my ancestors did. Yes, you would have, because you're just following the trends. Like, it's just a trend. So I have a lot of like, I have a lot going on when I see people just doing things out of reaction and not out of actual, like, you know, thinking if this is okay for me.
Right.
Anyway, it's weird. Don't you think, Craig? Don't you think it's weird that now all of a sudden it's okay to have tattoos and not the Nazi haircut on The Bachelor?
Oh, the Nazi haircut. Oh, boy. That was so in for a little bit.
Mm-hmm. All those, yes.
I'm not going to comment on that.
Well, okay. It's just weird that all these men are just going along with the trend. I used to like The Bachelor a lot because I felt like it was out of step with society. It's so old fashioned. It does what it wanted, and now it's trying to align itself, but like incorrectly, because it doesn't really know the like actual roots of the ideology. It just goes along with what it thinks is correct.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, I think that if you do it insincerely, you might as well not do it.
Yeah, I don't really have anything to say, I guess.
Fine. Okay, bye.
Craig's about to go out to get some cool guy tattoos and like the Nazi haircut and a pink suit.
No Nazi haircut. I don't know anything about that. But yeah, I always wanted a tattoo, like one that would peek out underneath my t-shirt.
No, that's what I think is so stupid.
But I never could find one that I thought was cool, so I never got one.
The thing is, once you like break the seal on the first one, you feel much more comfortable getting stupid stuff after that.
Right.
You know?
Sure. Yeah. Yeah, I just never got one. I mean, I've been to tattoo parlors. It's not like I'm afraid of it or anything. I just never got one.
Oh, my God, Craig. You don't have to justify it to us. We don't care.
Does Mark have any tattoos?
No. His dad does.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
So I feel, like, it's not weird. It's extremely pedestrian at this point, you know?
Yeah,
so
exactly.
So I don't, it's not cool. Like, you know, my point is that don't do it to be cool, because it's not cool. That's my point.
Right. Okay, that makes sense. That's a good thing to end on. Don't do it because it's cool, because it's not cool. I think that's what you said.
Mm-hmm. Look at the HGTV guy. If there's any more proof that it's over, is that he has them. That's okay. When I saw him, I was like, nope. Okay, neck tattoos, face tattoos, it's all over. All
right.
Post Malone has broken that seal. Like, it's over. That guy.
Okay. Well, one thing I think tattoo-wise, right, is for the bachelorettes themselves. There have been some tattooed bachelorettes, but they usually have the small, like, ankle tat or whatever, right? They're still not doing the big tattoos on women on The Bachelor yet, because that's...
Right.
They still haven't broken that cultural line, even though in the rest of America we've broken that a while ago.
Well, that reminds me that they did on Listen to Your Heart, right? Someone did. someone had like a shoulder tattoo, and
because that's because they're edgy musicians,
right? And that's where Connor should have gone, because that's all he
should have gone on. Listen to Your Heart. He would have been good on that.
Ugh, would he have been? I think.
Okay. Cutting us off. All right. Well, good episode. Follow us on social media at Bachelor Masters. Leave us a review on the iPhone podcast app, and we will read it on air. Any Instagram DMs easier?
No.
Ugh. Okay. All right. Fine. I get it. All right. Okay. See you next week.
Okay. Bye.
Bye. Thank you.